Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. To ask Hank your question, call in now, 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information or to order resources, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A quick reminder that if you are not at present subscribing to my new daily e-truth, you can do so on the World Wide Web at equip.org/e-truth. That's equip.org/e-truth. You have not only short videos, but answers to questions delivered to your inbox daily. Again, my new daily e-truth. It's a new feature that we have been providing for the last couple of months, is available right now. Go to the World Wide Web at equip.org/e-truth. Well, if you've been following the news at all over the last few days, you know that there is a furor that is brewing over Duck Dynasty. Why? Well, GQ did an article titled, What the Duck? It was written by Drew McGarry, and he asked the question of Phil Robertson, is what is in your mind, is it sinful? Well, Phil Robertson says, start with homosexual behavior, and then just morph out from there. Bestiality, sleeping around. And then he paraphrases 1 Corinthians chapter 6, don't be deceived. Neither the adulterers, the idolaters, the male prostitutes, the homosexual offenders, the greedy, the drunkards, the slanderers, the swindlers, they won't inherit the kingdom of God. Don't deceive yourself. Again, that was in answer to a question by Drew McGarry in GQ magazine. He went on to say that he can't judge who is going to go to heaven, who is going to hell. That's the job of the Almighty. Says Robertson, we just love him, give him the good news about Jesus, whether they're homosexuals, drunks, terrorists, we let God sort it all out later. Again, his remarks in answer to a question and his paraphrasing of the Bible has been the subject of all kinds of shows, newspaper articles. It has become a cultural phenomenon like Duck Dynasty itself. Ann Oldenburg, writing in USA Today, notes that GLAAD, whose mission is to amplify the voice of the LGBT community, has described Robert's remarks as, quote, vile. And so along with the NAACP, they are now demanding an apology. Meanwhile, a federal judge in Utah struck down part of the state's law banning polygamy as a result of a lawsuit brought on by the stars of another television reality show, Sister Wives. The ruling last week threw out the law's section prohibiting cohabitation, saying it violates constitutional guarantees of due process and religious freedom. And several months prior to that, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down a separate federal law defining marriage as between one man and one woman. And several days ago, President Obama selected Billie Jean King for the official U.S. delegation for the 2014 Sochi Winter Olympic Games. And the popular sports commentator Christine Brennan, also writing in USA Today, dubbed Obama's selection as a, quote, stroke of genius. What better way to show the nation's disgust for Vladimir Putin's anti-gay propaganda law than to send an American cultural icon and sports legend who also happens to be openly gay? And for her part, Billie Jean King opined, "Sometimes I think we need a John Carlos moment," referring, of course, to the U.S. Track star expelled from the 1968 Mexico City Olympics for protesting racial discrimination. So with all of this going on, I thought it would be good to have Joe Dallas on the broadcast to help sort it all out for us. He is the founder of Genesis Biblical Solutions in Tustin, California, which is a ministry to men dealing with sexual addiction, homosexuality, and other sexually or sexual and relational issues. Also, I want to alert you to the fact that we have a special sexuality package that you can find on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Four of Joe's books: A Strong Delusion, which is confronting the gay Christian movement, and then a book titled When Homosexuality Hits Home, What to Do When a Loved One Says They're Gay, The Game Plan, which is the men's 30-day strategy for attaining sexual integrity, and Desires in Conflict, Hope for Men Who Struggle with Sexual Identity. You can find that on the web at equip.org. Again, it's called the Sexuality Package. Also, a quick reminder that we did a book published by the Christian Research Institute titled God's Design for Sex. You can also find that on the web at equip.org. Joe, good to have you with us on the broadcast.
Hey, good being with you, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, this furor over Duck Dynasty is really quite something. It seems to be the new cultural civil war. And I want you to help us to think about all of this, because my basic sense of things is that we have now lost that cultural war.
Oh, I would strongly agree with you there, Hank. I think on the one hand, most believers have always realized that the world is the world and that it's not going to be governed by the same principles that the church is governed by. But we have hoped to influence the world as salt and light. And there was a time that the culture in America shared many of the values that the church espoused. But that time in our history is at least to some extent over. And I think that part of what we are having to do is certainly mourn the direction the culture has gone without despairing over the direction that the culture has gone, because the basics are still intact. The gospel is still the power of salvation. The Holy Spirit still convicts. Christ's invitation is still open, and the church is still alive. And I think we will have to adjust to the fact that the surrounding culture is not as amenable to our principles as it used to be, but that does not mean it is impenetrable. In fact, there will always be those who God will call out of darkness into light, no matter what form the darkness takes. And I think this is where we have to see this recent furor as more evidence that the definition of the family really is going to become, and I think even has become, both the defining and the dividing issue between the church and the culture, and to some extent even between some members of the church and other members of the church.
I appreciate what you just said, and I think it needs to be underscored over and over again. Pagans are going to exercise their job description. I think the operative question becomes, are Christians going to exercise their job description, which is to be salt and light, or ambassadors for Jesus Christ? But the question that I have, and I think it's a really pressing question at this point, is how then shall we live in this context? Because here you have a Christian, a patriarch of a wildly popular reality show on television paraphrasing the Bible, and that is now considered to be hate speech.
I think that also is the reality of the times we are in and the times we are coming into. On the one hand, Hank, I think we can always look at ourselves and correct ourselves where we are not presenting biblical truths in the most effective way. And I think where we can correct ourselves, we should, but it should always be with the understanding that no matter how balanced, no matter how loving our tone, the fact is, to many people, it will be not only unacceptable, but it will be seen as hateful to state that we have a creator who has standards for the human experience, and those include sexual standards, and homosexuality falls short of those sexual standards. Now, those are points that we need to steward. We need to articulate them, but no matter how well we do it, we'll have to accept the fact that we will be viewed as hateful by a growing percentage of Americans. We really will.
And I think there's another issue here, and that is when Robertson quotes the Bible, as he did in the GQ article, he's quoting a book that in the eyes of multitudes is not only outdated, but it is patently absurd, because in their view, the Bible not only condemns homosexuality, but it also validates things like slavery. And if that is true, then, of course, you can't really use the Bible as a moral compass at all. And before you comment on that, I think we need to quickly say that far from extolling the virtues of slavery, the Bible denounces slavery as sin. In fact, the New Testament goes so far as to put slave traders in the same category as murderers, adulterers, perverts, and liars. So it is a misnomer, but that particular canard is repeated over and over again, ad nauseum, ad infinitum.
And I think on the one hand, that gives us a great opportunity to talk about the Bible itself. That's the good news in all of this, is when we quote the Bible as the basis for our standards and practices, then people will come along and say, oh, that book is outdated, that book condones slavery or the oppression of women, et cetera, et cetera. And that can open up a great opportunity to engage people as to what the Bible does or does not say, and whether or not the Bible is relevant to us today. So on the one hand, that can be a terrific opportunity. Now, on the other hand, it is becoming truer and truer that the Bible itself, just the unvarnished Bible, the quoting of the Bible, is becoming something that is viewed as hate speech. And I think on that point, we just will better buckle up and recognize that that is a direction that this culture is headed. We may attempt as salt and light to thwart that direction, and I believe we should. I believe that we should, in a godly way, fight for fair legislation that allows freedom of speech and conscience and religion. But I think we should do so in a way that is not naive, because the trend is absolutely towards silencing the biblical viewpoint on human sexuality. First, that viewpoint needs to be marginalized, and that's what we're seeing now, is the marginalization. We are, in that sense, being ghettoized, the backwards, weird, reactionary, conservative Christian. And then eventually, if the culture can be convinced that our viewpoint is dangerous, then the culture will consent to our being silenced. And I think this is a reality of life in 2013 and beyond.
A lot more from Joe Dallas in just a moment. I want to remind everyone that this is precisely why we need to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect. And when I watch Christians on Christian television or on secular television, I find that oftentimes it isn't with gentleness and with respect. It is a we, they, siege mentality. Not only that, but oftentimes an inability to articulate why they believe, what they believe, and in whom they have believed. We should be able to point out that slavery, even within the Old Testament context, was sanctioned due to economic realities rather than racial or sexual prejudices. And we do well to remember that when Joseph was sold into slavery in the Old Testament, it was considered a horrendous evil. And we can no more read New World realities into ancient Near Eastern legalities than we can read Torah legalities into New Covenant realities. Indeed, we must ever be mindful of the reality that it was the application of biblical principles that led to the abolition of slavery. So someone bringing this up, we ought to be prepared with an answer. That's why we provide the resources we do. That's why we do what we do, because life and truth matter. Back in just a few moments with more from Joe Dallas and also your questions coming up in the next segment of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Please don't touch that dial.
As we wind up this year, a funding gap remains that must be closed by year end if we're to continue bringing a biblical perspective to the issues of our day. CRI has no major funding source and relies on the generous support of Christians like you committed to standing for the truth. And that's why your help right now is vital. So please call 888-7000-CRI with your gift. That's 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. Stay with us. There's more from Hank Hanegraaff coming up next. The last few weeks of 2013 are critical for the Christian Research Institute, as we must close a funding gap by December 31st to end this year having fully met our obligations, ready and able to move into 2014. If we are to continue contending for the faith and equipping Christians across America, it is vital we close this gap. That's why we're asking for your help today to close this gap so we can continue working at full strength to equip Christians like you on the issues of our day and counter the lies emanating from our culture. So please call right now, 888-7000-CRI, to give your gift. 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Your help ensures we can continue being there for the hundreds of thousands of people like you who tune in each month. Thank you. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Through his depiction of death and of something after death, C.S. Lewis has engaged generations of readers at profound levels of mind and soul. The millions of people who have read the seven Narnia Chronicles have received from Lewis's pen a way of thinking about these things that is well worth considering. Other topics include Allah, the Trinity, and divine love, worldviews, thinking and living, the most important institution in the world, and the folly of bumper sticker theology, gross national cool, manga as theological reflection, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. With 2013 quickly winding down, the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is calling on listeners like you to help close a funding gap by the end of the year. Closing this gap by December 31st is vital if we're to continue being here for the hundreds of thousands of listeners just like you who tune in each month, seeking to be equipped with the clear direction of God's truth. With your gift today, you'll be saying you believe in this ministry, helping those who are being led astray by false teaching. Your support is absolutely vital if we are to end 2013 having closed this gap and ready for the new year. So please call 888-7000-CRI with whatever gift God lays on your heart. That's 888-7000-CRI. 888 7000 CRI. Thank you so much for your support. Whether we are aware of it or not, each of us thinks and lives within the context of a worldview. And even though we acquire our worldview initially from our social and cultural environment, it is possible not only to change certain beliefs within our worldview, but also to change from one worldview to another. The current edition of the Christian Research Journal helps believers examine their own worldview and realize that to see the world in a truly Christian way is not only to see reality, but also to live in line with that reality. Start your subscription to the award-winning Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A quick reminder that this is the month that we catch up. We are behind. We are catching up by God's grace. And you can be part of that process. We pray that you will make your most generous gift this month to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. On the broadcast with me today, Joe Dallas. He is the founder of Genesis Biblical Solutions in Tustin, California, and he's written some of the best material when it comes to dealing with sexual issues. And not only that, but he is, from my perspective, the foremost expert in our country on this subject. And what I appreciate about him the most is that he says what he says with gentleness and with respect. And you can tell from his tone that this is not a we they siege mentality against the world. And I suppose in some way, Joe, that is because that you were there. You lived the homosexual lifestyle. You know whereof you speak.
I did, Hank, and I do. I did live for a number of years as a part of the gay community and was involved in a number of homosexual relationships, actually, for a few years. I was even on staff with a pro-gay church in the late 1970s and the early 1980s, and God very graciously brought me to repentance in early 1984. So just as you said, this isn't academic to me. This is very personal. And you and I have talked a number of times about the need for us to speak with genuine respect, even when criticizing a person's behavior or a person's doctrine. I feel more strongly than ever the need for that respect, but for clarity as well. This is something that I think we have as much of a crying need for at the church today, is clarity on these issues. When people hear about all the flack that Phil Robertson is taking, or that Kirk Cameron, the Christian actor, took when he made public comments about same-sex marriage on Pierce Morgan's show, or the flack that Dr. Laura Schlesinger took, or Andy Rooney took 25 years ago. There's a very long list of well-known people who paid a very high price for saying that, in essence, they did not believe homosexuality was a normal or moral form of sexual expression. And when people see all of this, they think, oh my gosh, I better keep my mouth shut. And so there is an intimidation factor here having the chilling effect on the church. So I do think more than ever we need to be willing to be clear in our positions on essential issues. And the definition of the family, to my thinking, Hank, is an essential issue. It's not a secondary issue. And I think we do need to accept the fact that with clarity, there comes controversy. And that will be part and parcel of our experience as believers in these days.
You know, though you are an expert in this area, it doesn't seem to me that you are singling out homosexuality as the sexual perversion. You're talking about sexual identity. You're talking about sexual perversion from a biblical perspective and so forth in answer to questions. But I don't see you singling out homosexuality. Why does it seem as though the way this is being posited and positioned, that this is like the big issue for Christians?
I think there are at least two general reasons for that, Hank. I'm not sure if there aren't more. On the one hand, I think that because homosexuality culturally was taboo for so long, many Christians still view it as being an extraordinary sexual sin as opposed to a fornication or adultery or prostitution. So I think to some believers, it is still unbiblically set apart in their minds. Now, when Scripture condemns this behavior, which it clearly does in both Testaments, it condemns it alongside many other behaviors, both sexual and non-sexual, so the Bible does not elevate it to special status. But I think some people culturally are still holding on to the sense of it as being an unusually taboo thing. I think, on the other hand, in all fairness, Hank, the church is not under pressure, by and large, to revise our position on fornication or on pornography or prostitution. I know there are some special interest groups who would wish we would revise our position, but no groups are pressuring the church as relentlessly as gay rights advocates are. And so I think many Christians feel compelled to address this issue more than other sexual sins, because this particular sexual behavior is one that the church is feeling a good deal of pressure to either change her position on or to refrain from speaking on. And I think for that reason, it's also viewed as something that deserves special attention.
We need to go to our callers, but before we do, I have to ask you this question with respect to the slippery slope principle. I mentioned in the opening of the broadcast a federal judge in Utah striking down part of the state's law banning polygamy. I remember many years ago on this broadcast that you predicted this would happen and this kind of thing would happen with vast rapidity.
Yeah, it didn't take much of a prophet to predict that, did it? I mean, it only stood to reason that if we redefine the nature of marriage to include same-sex unions, we will virtually have to redefine it to include group polygamous arrangements as well. And just as you said, we are seeing that that slippery slope played out in this ruling. I believe it was just last week when the U.S. District Court judge at least chipped away at the Utah laws on polygamy. And I think we'll see more of that chipping away, because as we redefine marriage to mean basically a relationship that is meaningful to the people involved, that's a very broad definition. And logically, I think it will have to include polygamous arrangements as well as homosexual ones.
Well, a lot of people hanging on will go right to the phone calls. First up, Mike in Springfield, Missouri, listening on KSCV. You're on with Joe Dallas. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how you doing, Hank? I want to first thank you for accepting my call here.
You're welcome.
And I just to start out the deal, I grew up with a best friend that later on, it told us that he was homosexual. And my love and care for him is the same as all the other childhood friends I grew up with. And this is, with the Duck Dynasty, we finally have one show on TV, at least, that me and my family, we can sit down and watch. We enjoy watching it. We laugh. We have fun. And I know in the past they wanted to stop them from praying and from showing guns, you know, and all that stuff. And Phil took a stand and said he wasn't going to do it. And this might be hearsay, but anyway, and then they brought on another season.
So, Mike, your question for Joe.
And, well, anyway, we went on, you know, with the social media. I was just totally, you know, surprised with all the people that stood by this. And I went as far as even calling our...
Hey, Mike, what is your question for Joe, quickly, because we only have a limited amount of time.
Yeah, what else can we do, I mean, to support, you know, the stuff as far as the Bible and what we believe in?
Well, in brief, Mike, I would say we first have to live what we say we believe. I don't think Christians will have much moral authority to speak on homosexuality if we are privately engaging in the use of pornography or not honoring our own marriage vows or as single believers adhering to biblical standards. So we first have to make sure we are living those principles ourselves. And then we look for opportunity to speak just as we would with witnessing. I think that we need to prayerfully consider when we have an opportunity to faithfully represent as ambassadors for Christ, our Creator, and the standards He intended for the human race in the hope that that will generate interest in people's part in looking and examining and exploring what the Scripture has to say about life and about God. I think we can continue to speak up. I know there are a lot of different groups wanting to petition A&E to reinstate Phil Robertson or to protest suspending him. And I think that's fine. I admire those efforts, and I think that there is real merit to them. I think we also have to realize that in a larger sense, as Hank has said, the culture has shifted. And our desire would have been for the culture not to have shifted in the direction it has. But since it has, I think more than ever, we will need to be watchful both as to what we say and the manner in which we say it.
Quickly, Joe, this whole notion of the perfect storm, I mean, it seems as though with Phil Robertson, you have the opportunity to say, this is typical Christianity. It's ignorant, it's backwoodsy, it's unenlightened, even though, in fairness, I have listened to Phil Robertson in various venues, and he's quite articulate. He's certainly not someone who is bereft of senses, but it does seem to me to be the perfect storm in that sense.
Well, I guess that it is, Hank, and I think it plays right into the stereotype that many in the media have tried to paint of the average Christian. But I think, first and foremost, the best way to fight stereotypes is to live beyond them. And then secondly, to address verbally the unfairness or the inaccuracy of those stereotypes and try to reason with people.
You know, as I was watching the news shows last night, the one thing I gathered is there was a lot more heat than light, but it seemed like people were lining up on either side of two issues, either calling this hate speech or calling it free speech. On the other side of the break, I want to ask Joe about this. How do you sort this out? Is this hate speech? Is this free speech? Or are those the wrong categories altogether? Also taking more of your calls on the other side of the break with Joe Dallas as we continue to discuss the matter of sexual identity and so much more.
As we come to the end of 2013, CRI must close a funding gap to end this year on target, which will enable us to move into 2014 ready to equip even more people with God's truth. That's why your gift in support of CRI and the Bible Answer Man today is just so important. So please take a moment right now and call 888-7000-CRI with your gift. That's 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. Don't go away. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. With 2013 quickly winding down, the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is calling on listeners like you to help close a funding gap by the end of the year. Closing this gap by December 31st is vital if we're to continue being here for the hundreds of thousands of listeners just like you who tune in each month, seeking to be equipped with the clear direction of God's truth. With your gift today, you'll be saying you believe in this ministry, helping those who are being led astray by false teaching. Your support is absolutely vital if we are to end 2013 having closed this gap and ready for the new year. So please call 888-7000-CRI with whatever gift God lays on your heart. That's 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. Thank you so much for your support. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Over the past decade, the Japanese comic books known as manga have gone from accounting for one-third of a $70 million graphic novel market to claiming almost two-thirds of what is now a $550 million industry. Learn how to engage with loved ones absorbed in manga with biblical truth. Other topics include what to say when your gay friend says, "I was born this way," Rendezvous with Death, C.S. Lewis on mortality and the afterlife, Breaking Bad's addicting defense of moral realism, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The last few weeks of 2013 are critical for the Christian Research Institute as we must close a funding gap by December 31st to end this year having fully met our obligations, ready and able to move into 2014. If we are to continue contending for the faith and equipping Christians across America, it is vital we close this gap. That's why we're asking for your help today to close this gap so we can continue working at full strength to equip Christians like you on the issues of our day and counter the lies emanating from our culture. So please call right now, 888-7000-CRI, to give your gift. 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Your help ensures we can continue being there for the hundreds of thousands of people like you who tune in each month. Thank you. Throughout the month of December, we've been sharing with you how important it is for us to close the final funding gap so we can continue bringing a biblical perspective to the issues of our day in the new year and counter the lies emanating from our culture. If you have yet to respond with your gift, please take a moment right now and visit equip.org. Equip.org. That's equip.org. Thank you. Let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada today, a special broadcast as we talk to Joe Dallas, particularly about this wildly popular television show, Duck Dynasty, and the fallout as a result of Phil Robertson's comments in GQ magazine. Joe, one of the things that I mentioned just before the break was that it seemed to me as I was watching the television shows last night that people were lining up either behind the notion that what Robertson did was exercise free speech, and those who were saying, no, he wasn't exercising free speech, he was exercising hate speech. Are those the categories? Is that the right way to think about it, or is this a confusion of categories?
I wish we would talk more about responsible speech, Hank, instead of just framing it as either free speech or hate speech. I think if I had to pick one of those two, I would say it is more an issue of freedom of speech. After all, Robertson was asked a question. He responded. And I think he did so very respectfully. Now, frankly, there are some points he made that I would not have made or I would have made differently, but you can nitpick anybody. I think by and large, his responses were respectful and fair. And I certainly don't think it's hate speech to simply say you believe that something is wrong. Anybody who has genuinely been hated will tell you that to be hated is far more than to be disagreed with. But I think that the issue of responsibility is a primary one here. I like to run my own speech through the grid of accuracy, relevance, and consideration, ARC. Is it accurate? Did I get my facts right? Is it relevant to the discussion? If I'm talking to a homosexual person about the gospel, that person's homosexuality may or may not even be relevant to the discussion because we're talking about the broader issue of who Christ is. And so I don't want to jump right into that issue on sexuality when the divinity of Christ might be much more important to talk about. So you want to look at the relevancy issue, and then you want to look at the consideration issue. Even if what I am saying is true and relevant, I also, per what you said earlier, quoting Peter, need to make sure that my speech is seasoned with salt. And so I think that if we look at the elements of accuracy and relevance and consideration, if our speech passes all those hoops, I think we're doing pretty darn well.
When we look at what was said by Billie Jean King, this whole notion of needing a John Carlos moment, like we had in the 1968 Mexico City Olympics, that this is essentially what we need now as a result of what's going to happen in the Olympics in Russia. Is it fair or valid to compare civil rights and gay rights?
I don't think that it is. I think you can find some similarities, but ultimately I don't think the two parallel very well. I think just when you look at the level of mistreatment of one group versus the other, you see that they really are worlds apart. Gays and lesbians were not shipped here against their will and traded as slaves and beaten and raped and dehumanized. We have never had gay versus straight drinking fountains or theater seats, et cetera, et cetera. I think the level of mistreatment, particularly from the government itself, is very different. I think also the difference between the race one is born into versus the sexual desires one has is a very significant difference. There's never been a question about the inborn nature of our race. There is still very hot debate over the origins of homosexuality itself. So I really don't feel that the two can or should be put in the same category.
Let's go to the phone lines. Larry, Long Beach, California. You're on with Joe Dallas.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well.
Yeah. My question, I'm a Christian. My family grew up, have two girls, grew up Christian. My oldest daughter has a girlfriend. I mean, she was raised in a church and I believe she's a saved. She's saved, but has a girlfriend and living that lifestyle, and accepts it. I mean, she's not even. I wouldn't say struggling with this. I think she accepts it, and I think she even believes that she's. I believe once you have your salvation, you never lose it. But she believes she would be going to hell because of how she's living. But again, she accepts that. So my thing is, our relationship is not the same anymore like it once was. She's lived in the home with us still. She's 23 years old. How do I look at that and to get that relationship back, or how do I look at her and not actually, you know, can't stand her?
Joe?
Larry, I think that for anyone we love deeply, especially our own child, things have to change if they decide to embrace something that we know is outside of God's will. So you're going to be in pain over that decision that she's made to embrace that. It's going to matter to you. You still love her. You can still dialogue with her. And I would hope that you can prayerfully look for opportunities to ask her point blank, how did she come to justify this as a Christian? How has she come to believe that this could be acceptable? And if she does not believe it is acceptable, why did she decide to embrace something that she knows is not acceptable in God's sight? Those are very important questions I think you should pursue with her, with the understanding that ultimately what changes her mind will be a softening of her heart, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit. You are there as a steward of truth and as the very important man in her life, her father, to speak truth lovingly while still trying to maintain a good relationship with her. You have many other things to talk about besides this, but I would be trying to pursue some times where the two of you can seriously hash out how she came to believe this could be acceptable, and if she does not believe it's acceptable, how she came to make peace with something she knows is unacceptable to God. And sometimes posing it in the form of a question can be helpful, as in, honey, help me understand what your own process has been like as you have come to embrace this. That can be a great way to start the conversation right there.
Before we go to our next caller, I want to mention the sexuality package. So many of Joe's books are helping people around the world. Some of them, A Strong Delusion, When Homosexuality Hits Home, The Game Plan, Desires in Conflict. You can find them on the web at equip.org. Again, we have a sexuality package, four of Joe's books. Also, the God's Design for Sex book that we published this year through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can find it on the web at equip.org. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Brian in Syracuse, New York, listening on the web. You're on with Joe Dallas.
Hi, Joe. I had a call for Hank, but I'm pleasantly surprised that you're here. And I've always had a question for you. I think you're a gem to the body of Christ. And I want to ask you, being that you've come from the homosexual lifestyle and you're able to look back, tell me, what do you feel contributed to shape your homosexual desire, looking back at it?
I will have to, Brian, give you an honest answer, which will sound vague. And that is, I don't know. I really don't, because I don't think we ever know. I can see some early experiences, for example, an early molestation when I was a little boy, 8 years old. And I can see some family influences that I am sure shaped the way I felt about myself as a male. But whether or not those were causative is another question, because you could take another boy and put him in exactly the same situation, and he will never develop homosexual feelings. So it really is a mystery as to why this develops. I happen to believe that it is one of many manifestations of fallen human nature. It is what I would call a minority manifestation, in that most people do not experience homosexual attractions really at any time in life. But it's a manifestation of fallen nature nonetheless, and there may be prenatal or postnatal elements that contribute to it. There, I think, is some mystery as to what actually causes it. So I wish I could give you a more definitive answer, but I really can't, Brian. That's about as good as it gets.
You know, I only have a minute or so, Joe, but I want to ask you about this issue of identity versus behavior. So often someone will say, I am gay. Is being gay an identity or is it a behavior?
Ah, well, it can be both or it can be either. It generally, I think when someone uses the word gay, they mean both I am sexually attracted to the same sex and I act on those attractions, and I identify myself by my sexuality. In other words, I view my homosexuality as a primary identifying characteristic, like my skin color, you know, or the sex I was born with. So it can be both or either. There are some believers who identify themselves as gay, even though they believe homosexuality is a sin. And so they abstain from that behavior, but because they are attracted to the same sex and they resist those attractions, they identify themselves as gay. I don't happen to agree with that as an identification. I don't think we should identify ourselves with any particular sinful tendency, but that is the way some choose to identify themselves nonetheless.
Joe, as always, it is a great privilege to have you on the broadcast. Thank you so much for the difference you're making for time and for eternity. You are deeply appreciated.
Always a pleasure, Hank. Thank you.
Joe Dallas, he is the founder of Genesis Biblical Solutions in Tustin, California, a ministry to men dealing with sexual addiction, homosexuality, and other sexual and relational issues. You can find out more about Joe on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Remember, his books also being featured today, and we'll have him on many more times in the coming year. I think what he has to say on this issue sheds light as opposed to heat. Out of time for this week's editions of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you right back here Monday with more.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With 2013 quickly winding down, the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is calling on listeners like you to help close a funding gap by the end of the year. Closing this gap by December 31st is vital if we're to continue being here for the hundreds of thousands of listeners just like you who tune in each month, seeking to be equipped with the clear direction of God's truth. With your gift today, you'll be saying you believe in this ministry, helping those who are being led astray by false teaching. Your support is absolutely vital if we are to end 2013 having closed this gap and ready for the new year. So please call 888-7000-CRI with whatever gift God lays on your heart. That's 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. Thank you so much for your support. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Through his depiction of death and of something after death, C.S. Lewis has engaged generations of readers at profound levels of mind and soul. The millions of people who have read the seven Narnia Chronicles have received from Lewis's pen a way of thinking about these things that is well worth considering. Other topics include Allah, the Trinity, and divine love, worldviews, thinking, and living, the most important institution in the world, and the folly of bumper sticker theology, gross national cool, manga as theological reflection, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.